Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. As always, I am your host, Paul Finneo, here once again this week with my beloved co-host, Antoine Bergeron. How's it going, Antoine?
It's going tired. The Adepticon trip will be a nice welcome out of my regular weeks.
A welcome change?
Yeah, a welcome change, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Adepticon trip is making me tired. It's the cause of me being tired.
Yes, it's true. But it's the same here. But I would have reason to be tired anyway, so at least it will be a different tired.
Fair enough. Yes, yeah, so this is going to be a kind of a short show, as Antoine and I are both prepping to go to Adepticon, and are in the midst of frantically, painting and prepping stuff. I'm working on more Judgment Digs than I care to admit. I think I've painted something crazy, like 954mm figs this month.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 Guild Ball models. and while they're fun, I want it to be over. I'm trying desperately to get stuff done for an event at Adepticon, and it's just not going as well as I had hoped. I'm trying to channel my inner Wapple, but he seems to be gone on vacation.
It's a big undertaking. 954mm model, that's a lot.
Well, let's be honest, I couldn't make it easier on myself.
Mm-hmm. That often happens.
And I could, just paint them also to a lower standard. And say, well, I'll do a better job when I get back, and I'll bring up the level then. Like, I'll just detail them when I come back or something.
Yeah.
But I find in general that when I do that...
You don't come back to him.
Yeah. The detailing never happens.
Yeah.
So I didn't really want to do that. And they're nice models. I have to say I've had some frustrations with them. I think... And I don't want to be negative about anyone, right? The Judgment game was really good. The... owner of the company is super nice and super involved in the community. But I think they keep their molds too long, whoever's doing their casting for them. Because a lot of my guys have, very bad mold slips or just miscast pieces. And almost every model I've assembled in the last week has had pink chunks of silicone.
Yeah.
Embedded in the model. Which means the molds are tearing and they're still using them. And that's probably the caster to keep costs low and keep their profitability high. Because I don't think Gunmeister Games are doing anything in the casting themselves. I get the impression they deal with a company that does their casting.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think most small companies are like that, right? Getting set up for large-scale production casting is not cheap and or easy, and as you know. They've got daytime jobs and young families and stuff, so I just don't think that's in their cards. So I'm fairly certain they've just contracted out. I'm going to mention it to them when I see them. Because they will be at Adepticon.
Mm-hmm.
The two brothers who are the brains behind the company are going to be at Acon. So I want to take the opportunity just to mention that, I think their models are great. I think the game is great. But I have my concerns. And, anyone who's worked with resin will know that resin often requires a bit of effort. And I would say that's 100% normal. There's going to be gaps to fill, and there's going to be things, right? But Like, you shouldn't have, you know, 5 or 6 mold slips on the same model on different pieces. Like, a stereo, I just give up. I just paint right over them. She has slips on both legs. The back of her head is slipped. Like, both arms have, like, gribbly bits on them from, like, the molds just decaying. Like, and even at the, you know, considering the price those models go for, I should be willing to put more effort into them, try and make them good, but I was like, enough's enough. I'm just done. Oops, and I almost dropped Thorgar. That definitely would not help my production speed. What have you been working on, Antoine?
Right now, I'm working on the sculpting commission I've been working on in the past month. I'm just coming back to it. I took a break and did some painting in the last few weeks. So, it was a nice change. I painted, I finished Veteran Gutter for my butchers.
Nice, nice.
And I painted Kroll for Judgment, the Orc Shaman.
Ooh.
It was my first 54 mil model, and it's a fun skill to paint.
Yeah, I have really enjoyed these models. And there's a lot of things you don't have to do. Like, it's just a different. I keep dropping everything. It's a different set of skills, almost, or rather. You don't have to, like, you don't detail them the same way because they're bigger. What you have to emphasize is different, I find. And, like, I, you know, we often joke about me and my muted tones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how they don't really show up on the tabletop because the models are so small.
Yeah.
Everything kind of just disappears, right? But this is a bit different. The models are bigger. So I can get away with my more muted tones. That I like, and the models still look good, because you can still see things because they're bigger. I'm not going to say it's a perfect thing. I mean, I should still be a little more vibrant in my color choices, but if I'm going to have a palette that sucks, at least have it sucks in a scale that works better for it, you know? I couldn't think of a more eloquent way to put that, sorry.
No, it's a good way to say
it. But it gets the idea across.
Yeah. So, that's mostly what I did since the last recording. I think I did, I finished my table display for the boot.
Oh, yeah. I think you were just finishing that up last time.
Yeah, or I was working on it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realize I forgot to do something this weekend, which would have been the perfect time because it's during the day. But I'll still have to do the feet for it to stick up. I only had the temporary feet now, so it doesn't work for a big table. So I'll have to jury-rig something in the next couple of days before we leave.
Well, if you need me to 3D print something, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I can design something for you and 3D print it quick.
Yeah, I think it's more a lumber that I need. Something bigger and with weight to it.
I don't know how your thing is designed, right? So I can't.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate the offer, but I already have a good idea of what I need. I just. A
matter of time and.
Yeah, and location. Tools. The tool I would need is not here right now. So
what tool?
I don't know the name in English.
Give me the name in French.
Like a skill saw, but on an arm.
Oh, okay. A table saw.
A table saw.
No, yeah. It's not a table saw. A table saw is like a blade sticking up through a table. Almost like either a radial saw, which is where the saw blade slides back and forth on an arm. Or the one that you pull down?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, it's like a miter saw.
Yeah. So I would need something like that to do the cuts.
Well.
So, I'll do them by hand, but it would be easier and faster.
Yeah, I mean, how many cuts are you doing?
6.
Oh, but if you have a good sharp handsaw and a miter box, make sure your cuts stay straight.
I have a miniature miter box for Plasticard and Baza. So
not so useful.
Nope.
Well, if you were closer, I have a miter box and a good sharp miter saw because I did moldings and stuff by hand. Mm-hmm. Because I also have one of those saws you're talking about with the arms that come down, but mine was misaligned. As I found out after I cut a bunch of moldings and went to put them up and went, wait a minute, the corners don't meet properly. What's going on? It was my dad's saw, and when I called him on it, he's like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. The saw doesn't work right. There's a problem with it. I'm like, oh, thanks, Dad. That's super helpful to know now that I've cut all this wood. He just kind of laughed at me. My dad can be a jerk sometimes. I guess it's where I get it from. Okay.
But that's... Oh, I painted something else. I started painting a buggy corn.
Seems legit.
Yeah. It's not as advanced as I would like, so... I'll probably just bring it with me at Elliptican to have a little something to work on.
You should just set up your display at the painting area with the waffles.
I don't think that would be... tolerate.
Well, I'm sure the waffles wouldn't care, but
yeah, I don't see them being the problem.
Nope, I can guarantee they wouldn't be the problem. Oh boy, Paul, that was terrible. Oh yeah, that's terrible. That moment where you're like, oh, I messed up my airbrush. I'll just hand paint something and blend it in like my airbrushing. No.
Yeah, usually it doesn't work.
Apparently my airbrush is better at blending than I am. Who knew? Okay, I knew. But I had to try.
Did you have any game? Last week's?
No, I didn't have anything last week. I've been so desperately trying to get this stuff painted that games didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
The painting didn't really happen the way I wanted it either, but to be honest. But I tried. Yeah, I guess that works. I'm painting brown leather straps on top of brown leather armor. And I'm trying to find other shades of brown to use, because everything's kind of blending together, as I'm sure you understand.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems I had with the veteran gutter.
Well, I do have 356 shades of brown, so it really shouldn't be a problem for me. If I can just decide on what brown I want to use, that's... And the cat here that I varnished my model really adds texture and character to him. damn it. Oh well. I guess that's just going to be part of the model.
Feels like our first temple come together.
Painting. Oh, when we were painting Sisters of Battle in the room that night.
No, not those. The gels for on the limb with the cat hair primed into them.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten we did that. This is another example of Antoine and Paul being too nice. Right, because we gave up our night at a con to paint models for people we didn't really know. I mean, and... In retrospect, I don't mind that we did it, and it was a good thing we did, and you know, we were trying to be helpful. We were being good Canadians. But, I mean, it was such a Paul and Antoine thing, right? Oh, strangers that we don't really know. Oh, you need help. Let us help you by painting your display models. In the end, I don't know how much I helped them, but...
Me neither.
our intentions were pure.
Yes.
And you did display tables for them and everything else.
Yep. Yeah, after that.
Well, who knows? Maybe that got you the contract, right?
Hmm?
Maybe that got you the contract.
That might have helped. That and Parida, my personal table that I did, was a big seller.
Which they have, don't they?
Yeah, they bought it after... After, later.
Yeah, it's still a shame that game is no longer in production. They had a lot of good ideas. I don't think, you know, maybe they didn't take advantage of anything they could take advantage of. And it wasn't a perfect game. But it was a neat idea.
Mm-hmm. I think the game would have been perfect for chibis. But it was not yet the big chibi craze that's up now.
Yeah, their art style was a bit different.
Yeah.
And I found their sculpts varied a lot in quality.
Mm-hmm. They had multiple sculptors, so that didn't help.
Yeah. And, I mean, even with a good concept artist and stuff, you know, something, sometimes, even when you have a good idea, you're not successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always, you know, luck is a part of everything in life. And sometimes you just don't get lucky. And my final decision on the brown was, too late. Then there's the age-old question of, how many Fs do I give? And that number is dropping quite rapidly, so.
Well, with the time left.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's not just the models, right? These miniatures all have, like, super detailed bases, right?
Yeah.
Even if I get the models done, I still got all these bases to do something with.
Yeah, I'm happy with crawl bases. That the base kind of makes part of the model in that case, because of the spirit trail that goes to his skull. So, the skull he's holding, not his own skull.
I knew what you meant.
That made for the fact that I had to paint it together anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Even half painted, my stuff will look better than a lot of people's things I've seen, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, the Facebook group has a lot of people painting for an applicant, so that's cool. We're going to see multiple people that we see online in person there.
Yeah, one of my buddies, Chris Satina, who usually works for Muse at events, was speed painting his judgment stuff. I'm supposed to have a game against him. He's like, "You bring in a board?" I'm like, "Actually, I'm picking one up there." And Muse is launching the tokens at the event for Judgment, so that's cool. So I'm debating if I get the acrylic token set or not.
Don't you already have the cardboards from the starter?
Yeah, but I think the acrylic token set has, like, all more the abilities stuff for, like, everyone in the original, like, in the original set. So it's like a complete set of tokens, much like they do for Guild Ball or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay, more tokens. It's a secret to every gamer's power, how many tokens they own.
That's one of the things I don't usually go crazy at.
No, because they're not really cheap, right? It's the price of a judgment model for a set of tokens.
Yeah.
I saw they published some more details about the event we're in today, but I haven't had a chance to look.
Nope, me neither. Because they already released information earlier last week.
Yeah, but there was like another something today.
Okay.
Actually, have you downloaded the Adepticon app yet?
Yes. I sent you a friend request.
Oh. Did you download it today?
Like a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. I downloaded it today.
It just keeps bugging and timing out for me, so I've stopped playing with it.
Well, it's nice that, you know, it has the schedule of events on it and what you're signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the only thing I really wanted it for. Because otherwise, I was going to have to put something in my phone and actually use the technology that I carry around every day for something useful. Well, I'm not opposed to using it for something useful. I just never have before, so there's a learning curve there. Whereas the app they use, I've actually used at other events. So it's kind of like, hey, I know that app. And it makes me laugh a little bit that you're talking about how it bugs out on you and stuff and crashes, because that's kind of like my one memory of that app. Is that the event we've used them at, or used it at, it was never very reliable. So I guess it's nice to know things don't change. I guess.
I expected them to download, like, the schedule or something like that, but it seems to always look online.
Yes, well, how else would you know if there's an update to the schedule?
Yeah, but you could have a cache, at least.
You know what? They probably did have something like that, and then someone complained that the app didn't update because they lost signal, and then they didn't know their event, they were looking at the wrong thing, and something, you know. So... basically, probably due to someone's stupidity, they had to get rid of a useful feature. Because that happens in software development.
Yes.
It's like we had to get rid of our website at work used to have all kinds of like sorting features and stuff. And we had to get rid of all of them because people couldn't use them. And even though like it made searching for everything super easy, it just confused people. Because people would do things we'd never expect. Like, you know, look for a product, but put in the wrong search parameter, or search in the wrong category.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, but obviously, why would it be in that category? You know, like, why would you be looking for a computer monitor, so you search under video cards? Well, because video cards plug into monitors. Right.
Sure.
But, like, motherboards, video cards plug into motherboards, so... like, where does the chain stop? Do you look at motherboards to look for monitors, too? Because video cards plug into them? Well, no, that's stupid. Oh, okay. Just so long as we're being clear. Yep.
Yeah. What else happened? Oh, I started making a character for an RPG.
Ah, yes.
Something that has not happened in a long time, so...
yes, I heard about your character from our GM.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I have no idea how that's going to fit, but that's okay. We'll figure it out. Go ahead and tell the listeners.
Oh, it's not done yet, so it's... Paul is already in a campaign of Shadows of the Demon Lord?
Yep.
That's the name?
Yep, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, so, and they were looking for new players, so I'm jumping in, and I'm having a small goblin join the team. So
now, it's worth noting that there's some pretty big racial issues in the world we live in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other two party members are humans.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. And Shadows of the Demon Lord feels a lot like old world Warhammer fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of grim fantasy.
Our goblins are not like goblins in Warhammer.
No, this is true.
The goblins in Shadow of the Demon Lord are like the fairy goblins, so... they are a type of fairies that have been banned from the fairy land, and they just live in the slums of human cities. So they're seen as like beggars, yeah. And so they are not evil creatures. Like they're not the green skin
goblins. Yeah,
yeah, they're not D&D or Warhammer goblins. They're not green skinned enemies. They're just like a nuisance that lives in your sewers or the slums or stuff like that. Filthy little mutants. So it fits better that way. Everybody ignores them instead of everybody trying to kill them.
Yes, that's true. It should still make for a fairly interesting party dynamic.
Yes.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. We'll make it work, and if not, I'll probably die, and I'll make another one, another character. Because goblins are not the toughest creatures in that game.
I got news for you, nothing is tough in that game.
No, but I think goblins are even worse.
Well, I don't know. I used to die to a stiff breeze, so... and even when I think I found a solution to my super easy death, the GM has a way to let me know I'm wrong. So the GM is notorious for not gauging encounters properly. In the sense that he believes that players have the option to run away from any encounter and should feel free to do so. So he does not worry about making sure encounters make sense.
That's one way to do it.
Yep. So this week we were investigating a burning carriage on the road. And while we were doing that, we noticed this like will-o'-the-wisp thing that was kind of following us. So I went to investigate it, and it turned into a creature that attacked us. Like, and I guess in D&D terms, it'd be like we're level 2, and it was like level 8 or 9.
Ooh.
So it was very bad. My character is a mage, but he's like a fighter mage. And I have a buff spell that basically gives me as many hit points as a tank or whatever, as a warrior. And I got hit once, and he did like 30% more damage in that one hit than my total hit points with my buff spell. Yeah, and I was like, what the hell? And in the end, I was kind of like, you know, that counter may not have been properly scaled for us, Alex. And he's like, you all lived. Like, well, yeah, because we got super lucky on our rolls, and we needed like an 18 on a d20 to hit him, and we were rolling like 23s and 24s with modifiers because we kept stacking buffs to get our modifiers high enough to hit the guy. And if we hadn't got lucky, it wouldn't have happened. He's like, yeah, but you all lived, so it doesn't matter. And the thing is, the guy, Paul, knows that this guy is after an item that we're carrying. But none of the characters know it. And none of the characters, aside from the barbarian in the group, speaks the same language as this being. So there was like this whole communication disconnect where the guy was asking for something and none of us could answer him because we couldn't understand what he was saying. And the barbarian character didn't realize what he was looking for. So in frustration, the guy took a swing at me and missed. So the whole party jumped him. And I was lucky he missed, otherwise I would have been dead instantly, instead of dying the next turn. So yeah, this whole battle ensued, and there was really no way to stop it because we couldn't talk to each other. If we would have known what he was looking for, we just would have given it to him because we don't want it. We just don't know what to do with it. Because we have the feeling the item is dangerous, so we just can't leave it somewhere, and we're afraid to try to destroy it, and we can't use it, so we just carry it around with us. Yeah, so it was funny, and I don't necessarily mean funny, haha. Yeah, as the GM said, we all survived, so I guess I shouldn't complain. At least that's what he tells me. So you too can look forward to this, Antoine.
That's cool. It will be interesting.
Yep. I think I wouldn't be so offended by his GMing style if it wasn't the fact he giggles like hysterically while this thing is cutting us in half. Yeah, that's kind of rude. And whenever I kind of point out these things to him, he always accuses me of maligning him. Or of being misunderstood. Personally, I like that one. You know, he's the misunderstood GM. We played this is totally not miniature related. At one point in the past, we played a Warhammer 40K RPG with him as the GM. And at one point, things were going bad. I was playing a Space Marine. And there was, like, an Inquisitor in the party and a couple Imperial officers, like, Imperial Navy officers and stuff. And we had a ship, and we were on a space station. And at one point, I realized that there's gene stealers running amok. So I essentially lock myself into a room and hide, trying to figure out a way to get off this stupid space station. Or rather, I shouldn't say hide. I make a strategic withdrawal from the battle while trying to figure out how to escape. To relay information to the Imperium. Because, you know, I'm a good space marine. And the rest of the party basically tried charging into the gene stealers in a dark corridor on a space station that they didn't know the layout to. So you can imagine how well that went.
Yes, I can.
Yep. And there was a lot of butthurt players over that. And I'm like, guys, you played with Alex for years. How do you not know that when he he can't gauge encounters, and you know, if the Space Marine is hiding, you should probably be hiding too.
It will be fun to play again. I'll probably bring some more chaos into your team.
Oh, I don't know about that. We're already pretty chaotic.
Yeah. Not my character itself, but bringing my character into the team will bring problem.
Well, because of the social thing?
No. Other background effects.
Oh, joy. I'm sure it'll be fine, Antoine.
Oh, yeah.
What could go wrong?
It's going to be fun.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. I've never played anything with you, so.
No, that's true. Well, we might during the trip to Elliptican.
Oh, have you got something planned for the car?
I'm still working on something. Time is short. I don't know if I'll manage, but maybe.
We could play Werewolf in the car. You know, the party game. And I can just vote to kill Yom every turn. You know, first person.
Yeah,
dead.
Werewolf at 4-player. Mm.
It doesn't matter as long as we kill Yom.
It will get old fast, I think.
I don't know. Killing Yom's pretty fun. You know, I was thinking of something. If he wins in Crystal Brush, or even places high, he's going to be insufferable on the way home. God bless him. But I figure the trunk is big. We could just move the luggage to the car. Ah, that's not true. I'm hoping he does well. I just moved away from the mic, so probably no one heard that. Yeah, I'm hoping he does well. That'd be cool. It's always nice to see a local guy succeed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just live vicariously through him, because I know that's never going to be me. Oh, funny story. I've discovered that I'm getting old, Antoine. I was painting eyes on the 54mm model yesterday, and I had to take my glasses off.
Oh.
Because I couldn't see the face on the 54mm model. Not a small one either, like a tall, like normal-sized person. Not like a little dwarf. And then I took off my glasses and I realized the face was all blotchy because the paint was like other layers were showing through because I hadn't coated properly. And with my glasses on, I totally couldn't see it because my focal point is so far with my glasses now that it didn't show at that distance, at the foot and a half or 2 feet away from my eyes. Yeah. Because I paint with like the models literally like a couple feet away from me because I can't bring them closer. I can't focus. And I never realized I was doing that until yesterday. I'm like, why can't I see these eyes? And then I took off my glasses just on a hunch. And I was like, oh, the age is setting in.
Apart from Judgment, which we've talked about, what do you have planned for
Adepticon? For Adepticon?
Yeah.
I've got that intro tournament with you that I don't know how that's going to go. What game is that?
The other
Steamforge game. God Tier, yeah. That's on Thursday, I think.
Yep.
And then on Friday, I have the Guild Ball team tournament with our buddy Guillaume. Not Guillaume, but the other Guillaume. That should also be good. I don't know who I'm playing because he and I have not discussed at all. So I guess I'm just going to take a few teams and pray that I've got something that works with whatever he wants to play.
I'll have my butchers if you want to play something you don't know to make for an even better team experience.
And by better, you mean worse?
No, I mean better. They're butchers. You're going to have fun anyway.
This is true. I have no idea what those are. Well, I always have fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's, that's kind of the point, right?
And to get into that, you had to bail out from the, 40k, narrative game we were in, right?
Okay. Yeah. That's okay, because Yom's in there, so you're not there alone.
Well, even if I was alone, that would have been fine, but, That's one of the things we were looking at together at first. So,
yeah, I really wanted to do that, but somehow I don't really know what happened. I know I was talking to G and he asked about it, and I said I already had the thing that day, and I think he just didn't realize I'd said that or whatever. But next thing I knew, he'd bought tickets for us, and I was like, oh. Like, well, you know, it would be fun, and I guess I could just drop that one, and Yom will get in, and then, like, I knew you wouldn't be alone. Because I worry about these things, you know, I don't want to leave you alone.
I'm a big guy. I will be fine. I can play a two-hour event without my buddies.
Without supervision?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I have boot time alone. That worries me more than anything else that I'm going to do there.
You'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun, I think. But having the start time, I think will be the roughest part. Like I'm there for the Vendor Hall opening.
On the first day?
Thursday, yeah. I need to do the VIG... time slot too.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah, so I'll be up early Thursday morning.
Oh, but that's going to be so rough because we're going to get there so late.
Yes.
All I can say is not my fault.
Oh, no, I know.
I know. It's no one's fault, really. I'm looking at you, Yom. No, seriously, it's actually no one's fault. I mean, everyone's got life responsibilities and commitments. I was actually debating whether or not we pack a picnic lunch, like a cooler, and I make some sandwiches, and we just eat in the car while we drive to save time.
We could do at least one of our food break.
Definitely. Yeah. But then I remembered, well, you know, if we're quick at like the roadside things, it won't be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Because also in Ontario, they have those en route, I think they're called. Like the road, the highway side, like restaurants, gas stations, everything.
Like the big stuff we have here?
Yeah. Something like that. Well, except they have them like...
More often?
Every 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that should make it feasible to get food and not be crazy slow.
And how long are we in Canada? Until after Toronto or something like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because we cross over into Michigan. So way the other side of Toronto. We're going to be there a while.
Okay. So there's no problem with us having like local food with us for a while, too.
Oh, yeah, if we decide to take a lunch or something, yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
But, I mean, like I said, we could always just do a drive-thru.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still eating in the car, but it's hot and we don't have room to carry it. Because that's the other problem is where do we put a cooler? I really have some space concerns, but...
Yeah.
Which I was kind of funny to say, considering I was talking about bringing clocks for Steamforge to use because they have no clocks. But I hope that gets sorted out. I hope that pallet shows up. That's got to suck for them, right? That keeps happening. Wasn't there a problem at the U.S. Nationals last year where people had to go and pick up pallets of stuff somewhere else?
Yep.
Because all the mats and things were not at the event?
Mm-hmm. I think they were sent to the wrong place, but I don't know if it was the transporter fault or whatever.
Yeah, it was the transport company's fault, I believe. I don't think it was a Steamforge issue. Anyway.
Yeah.
What? So yeah, I got the Guild Ball thing, then Judgment on Saturday, and I think sometime we'll get a painting class on Thursday night.
Yes, the NMM Golden Iron.
Yeah. The easy NMM Golden Iron.
It was not in the name, probably just in the description.
Could be, but it better be easy if he expects me to do it. Let's put it that way. I'm not the most talented painter when it comes to NMM.
Well, that might change.
It might. But you and I both know that there's no magic to painting.
Nope. No, there is not.
It's, though people think there is, it's kind of funny. That might be a good topic for a show at some point. Because I often see people talking about things like, you know, airbrushing and stuff. And
yeah, you know, the cheat brush.
Yeah, and it's like, but that doesn't... Airbrushing makes you faster. It doesn't make you better.
And it makes some stuff faster, not everything. Yeah.
And it does actually... So it makes blending easier, right? Because you're using the airbrush. But then you're also kind of limited to what you do it and like what you do and where you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy to go back afterwards and if you mess something up to fix it. Because once your model's all painted, it's not necessarily easy to go back in with an airbrush and correct the overspray or the whatever you did. I mean, I think we've all been there. Oops, I just messed up everything I did. How do I fix that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just the way of the hobbyist. What about you? What do you got? I mean, you got some booth time. And obviously, you got that God tier event with me. And you got the Nurgle Don't Surf.
Yeah, Nurgle Don't Surf. It's a short narrative 40k event, like four player, kinds of a DM game of 40k. So, the concept seemed funny. Got that with Yom. I have a sculpting class with Tom Mason on Thursday after the God tier event.
Now, you actually participate in his Patreon, right?
Yes. I'm a patron, and I do his... he has a monthly MBA hobby hangout, kind of a sculpting hangout he does. So I take part of in that. What else? I have a Free Blades demo planned, and that's about it. The rest, it's I'm bringing miniatures for open play, but it's pre-planned open play. So I'll have a game of an aerial and at least a game of Pulp City. Yeah,
I'll have to go check that out with you if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch you play your monkeys. I was really disappointed my models didn't show up. I mean, they still might, I suppose. But since I can't actually track them to know where they are, my hope is pretty slim at this point.
Yeah. It would give me something to work on, too, because I have a couple of RoboChimps in that order, too.
Yes, you do. You have something and Yom has something. Yeah, Yom asked me for something. I don't remember what. It's a model. Like a level 1 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who it was. All right. I should remember to collect for that stuff, too. Or add it to the file. List. Yeah.
Yeah. Add that. And I think that's it. I have boot time 3 times. Like, all days except Saturday day, because we have the judgment event. And it's during the old vendor all time.
Yeah.
And that's it. I was into the same NMM class as you were, but I'll probably miss it, because I think it's going to be the same time as the NRL game.
However you pronounce that game. Yeah.
Yeah, the second one.
Oh, my guy is coming along there, Antoine. He's coming along.
It's good. The painting record was fun. It's making me look forward to eventually getting a second one. It's a bigger scale model. Or even just starting to work on the bust I have.
You said painting Rakir, but you meant painting...
Kroll. Cool.
Yeah.
Rakir is the assassin orc, right?
Yeah, he's the one I have in duplicate.
Okay. No, painting Kroll was fun.
Yeah, he came out super nice.
Oh yeah, I'm happy. I'm torn because I wanted him to maybe a bit darker to have more of a model in the dark effect. But I think it will show worst on the table. Like it would work perfectly for pictures in the right angle, but on the table it wouldn't show up well. So I think he's fine like he is now. He's still dark, but contrasted, so.
Yeah, I think not that my opinion is necessarily worth much when it comes to, is that model too dark? But I think he came out nicely. So speaking of the vendor hall and stuff, is there anything you're looking for there in terms of stuff in the vendor hall? Anything you want to check out and see?
Not specifically. I want to, like, that might be a problem, but I want to take my time and go through the vendor hall, but to be able to discover stuff. But I don't have much time for that. So
yeah, I was gonna say, well, our event on Thursday is not till the afternoon, I think.
No, but I'm at the boot until noon.
Yes.
So after my boot time, I'll have a couple hours at the vendor hall that I can go through, at least. I want to see if
and that'll be enough. It's not. Don't forget, it's not Gen Con, right? So the vendor hall's not that big. So a couple hours, you should get an idea of what's there, and then you'll be able to kind of, you know, home in on the exact thing you want to go look at.
Yeah, but after that, I don't think I'll buy much. I want to maybe try stuff. Like, I registered for FreeBlade because there was a time slot and that was easy, but I want to get demos of games. That's mainly why I took the God Tier event. I thought it might be fun. It would be a way to try the game out.
Yep, no, that's exactly it. I don't think they ever posted any information about the event.
Nope. I checked Friday or something. Recently, at least. Still no information. Yeah. The only thing I'm looking up to buy right now might be some model from the... I don't remember the name of the models themselves, but it's from Redbox Games, Three Manors. Usually do barbarians or Viking stuff.
Okay.
And we featured a band of characters that look like rangers in the last few months.
Yeah, and you're looking at them for Rangers of, who's it?
Shadowdeep.
See, I know how you think.
Yeah, so that, I might get either the old group, but the old group is a bit costly, or at least a small selection.
You know, your newfound GM is also looking at that game, eh?
Oh, yeah?
Well, he's a big Frostgrave fan.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules are by the same gentleman, right?
Yes. Joseph McCulloch.
Though I don't think they're through Osprey this time.
Nope, I think they're self-published.
Yeah.
It's co-op instead of being versus. So that's why I'm looking at it, to have something pretty more easier to play.
With your son?
Yeah, with my son.
Or your daughter, let's not...
Yeah, but she's probably still a bit too young. But eventually.
Yeah, Muriel has interest. It bugs my mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yes. What doesn't, though? What doesn't?
Well, it's not the case with most mother-in-laws. Well, even with my wife, when my wife was little, she hated the fact that my wife liked playing with boy toys. Like, my wife liked Transformers and stuff, and it seriously offended my mother-in-law. She firmly believes that, certain toys for certain sexes. When my son recently developed his love of Elsa and started carrying an Elsa doll everywhere he went, it bugged my mother-in-law quite severely. What are we teaching him? What if he grows up to be gay? Because he played with Elsa. People.
Yeah. People.
Look, that's the worst thing that happens to him. He is doing A-OK in my book. Anyway. We are rambling something fierce, even for us.
Yes.
Should we call it quits? While we still have at least one listener? Is there any news items? I didn't look at the doc. Do we have a doc?
Yeah, well, it's not worth looking at the doc itself. There's a couple of items. I'll just check the dates. If it's worth mentioning them. No, one of them is already done, so I'll skip that. But the other one, during the last show, we mentioned TH Miniature Jungle Terrain was going to launch.
Yep.
And they are still going on. So now we have more information. So there's 10 days left to go. So by the time of release, there's going to be about 6 days left to go. There's a lot of pieces for it. If you go to the Kickstarter, you'll have fully painted samples of all available pieces there, painted by Thierry himself. It's really nice terrain. Some of it is modular too, so you can, like, there's a big kind of a ziggurat, so you can remove the top and you have access to the interior or other pieces. You can swap tops, change layouts, stuff like that. It's his usual way to go. You pledge, the basic pledge is $70 Canadian. And you pick and choose for that value among the items. And the bigger pledge just gives you more. And as you go up, you get some rebate in the value. And there is an all-in, which saves you $20 at $260. So this gives you all the 16 scenery pieces, an exclusive model, and all the stretch goals once they get to that level. So.
That's not bad. I mean, people might think that it's costly, but, you know, it is resin terrain. It's only so cheap it's ever going to be.
And there are some sizable pieces. The ziggurat is pretty big.
His pieces are gorgeous. I mean, I've seen, I really mean you. You have lots of the other pieces from other sets, right?
Yeah.
And
I guess stuff from, I think, 3 different sets. Well, I and the club. Mixed together.
Yeah. Well, you are the club, Antoine. let's face it. I mean, Yom is a member of the club, too. But I think it's safe to say you are the soul of the club. And Papa Yom, while also a member of the club, is super busy with real life things. So, going off and becoming a professional.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, to say, you have a bunch of the pieces. They're really super nice in real life. And even if you just want small stuff, the small stuff is super reasonably priced, I find.
Yes. We did the prize package for the last tournament, the last Guild Ball tournament, because the smaller pieces fits well as obstacles or even barriers.
And they're not expensive.
No, they're not expensive. They were like $6 or $7 a piece. Or the smaller ones. So they're easy to justify. It makes for a small team table set for Guild Ball for something really reasonable.
Yep. Can't really go wrong with his things. True facts. Anything else, or was that the only one?
That's the only one. The other one has ended before... today, so.
Yeah, well, we missed last week because I wasn't feeling it.
Mm-hmm. And I must be honest, I didn't think we were recording this week, so I didn't do further research.
Well, I didn't want to make you go 2 weeks without recording.
So, that's it.
Because you might start looking for a different host on me, you know.
Oh, no, I won't do that.
Darn right you won't, because the mics and soundboards are all mine.
Yes.
I bought my way onto this podcast, and I'm staying. Yep. All right. Well, on that note, Antoine, I guess we'll call it quits, and we'll go to Adepticon, we'll play a bunch of games, and probably have something to talk about next week when we come back.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know when we're going to record next week, because it probably won't be on our usual recording day, because we'll be driving, and it probably won't be the day after we normally record, because we'll be recovering.
We'll see. We might just release late.
That's true, we could do that. Well, also, I mean, we can just record later in the week, because it's not like I'm going to have a gaming night next week. I think I'd get shot if I decided to go out for a gaming night after being gone for 5 days and leave my wife with the little kids.
So would I. So would I.
Yep. Alrighty then, we'll call that a date. And on that note, Antoine, I will see you in 2 days when we all pile into a car and drive for 14 hours.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that part so much.
It's not that bad, to be honest. I did it last year, and it was surprisingly painless. Oh, look at that giant chunk of flash. It was surprisingly painless. So, yeah, it'll be fine. I'll do a good chunk of the driving. You guys only have to drive a few hours each, probably. It won't be that bad for you. You can read and plot and scheme. You can help G figure out what he's going to play in Guild Ball with me. All right, enough. I'll talk to you soon, Antoine.
Bye, Paul. And bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Who, What, Why, a game design podcast. A podcast that talks about the ins and outs of game design with game designers. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.